I'm just hearing God say, church, there is a landslide of delusion that is in the atmosphere and is dropping on the church all over the United States of America and beyond. You cannot get involved with this. I am warning you right now that it is here, and you must at all costs avoid it. I will lead, guide, and direct your footsteps. I will tell you the truth so that the enemy cannot lead you down that path of delusion. You must be prepared to fight. You must be prepared to ward off all the evil forces that have been unleashed upon the churches. I have given you power and I have given you authority to do this thing. I have come upon you this night for one purpose, and that purpose was to strengthen you so that you can go forth and the enemy can in no way take you off course. My word is still yes and amen, and it will never change. What I speak in my word is the truth. Man has twisted and perverted it, but it is the truth. You need to search my word and receive the truth for yourself. You need to understand what thus saith the Lord and what thus saith the false prophets. You need to be aware, well aware of everything that's going around about you 24/7. Never for one instant can you take your eyes off of the things that the enemy is throwing your way. Now, I tell you not to look at the circumstances, but I am not talking about circumstances. I'm talking about the fiery darts that the enemy is now throwing at my chosen people. He knows who are mine. He knows the ones that I'm going to use mightily, and right now he has devised a plan to take you off course. You can in no wise allow him any room or any leeway in your life. It is time that you set a course and you keep your feet upon it and determine in your heart that you're going to do what I've called you forth to do 100%, not 99.9. I am warning my church before it ever happens, so that if you get taken off course, you cannot say, I did not forewarn you. You can no longer walk in both sides. You're either for me or you are against me. You must make a choice. And I've said this over and over and over again, and some of you are still trying to decide which way you're going to go. I told you that the door of opportunity was closing, and one day it'll shut suddenly, and you won't have any more choice. You will be on the outside looking in. The enemy is not walking in delusion. He knows exactly what he has planned for your life, and he is going to try to bring it to fruition. Only you can stop these plans. You have to fight the good fight of faith. You have to work out your salvation daily. You cannot rely on somebody else to do this for you. You're constantly saying, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Why don't you pray for yourself? Why don't you cover yourself with my pinions? Why don't you use the blood of my son Jesus and set the enemy to flight? I have spoken, and so shall it be. You can no longer halt between two opinions. It's either the truth or it is the lie. It's up to you which way you go. You can cry, kick, and scream all you want when you realize you're standing on the outside of the door, but that will not open the door of opportunity ever again. Tonight, even this entire day is a solemn day in your walk with me. You must at all cost keep your eye upon me and choose you this day whom you are going to serve 100%. Thank you. Thank you. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you right now. We thank you, Father God, that you love us so desperately and so completely that you're continually reminding us of what we need to do. And Father God, I for one really do thank you that you come into the Lighthouse services and you constantly work upon your people to improve their quality of life and to make sure that heaven is their home. I thank you, God, that your grace has been so sufficient. It has stretched across the miles, Father, and it has stayed with us and brought us to where we're at today. And Father God, we truly do thank your Holy Spirit for being here in all of his glory. And we thank you, God, that you love small beginnings and that you're with this church and the people who abide in it. I thank you, God, that their hearts have become steadfast and sure in you and that you have your everlasting arms around about each and every one, Father. And Father God, I watched. They didn't go astray. They didn't go running after your promises. They stayed the course right here. And Father God, you have been filling them to overflowing. And we truly do thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Some of you received a great touch during praise and worship, and you must at all cost hold on to that touch. You cannot allow the enemy to come and steal not one piece of that touch. If he steals one piece and then he starts unraveling the whole piece, you have to hold on tight. You have to walk through the maze with the Father and do the works he's calling you forth to do. I'm just hearing this. God is saying, some of you say, I'm going to spit in the devil's eye. And God said, why is the devil that close to you that you can spit in his eye? Thank you, Jesus. Why does he have any place anywhere near you? You know, this morning when I was sitting back there after I prophesied and prayed the closing prayer, I heard the word placate, P-L-A-K-A-T-E, I think it's spelled, something like that. And God said, do not placate my people. Well, I had Brother Brett look that up for me, and it says, do not, do not pacify my people. In other words, he wants me to say everything he says the way he says it. It doesn't matter if you receive it or not. It doesn't matter if you like it or not. That's what God's saying to you. And he knows what you have need of. You've already had your ears itched for too many years. And it's time now that you go to the woodshed. And allow God to change and rearrange the things in your life that you have not yet given him. God is a God of love, total and complete love. And I've noticed as we were singing these songs, really, and it is Easter time, and these songs really are Easter songs. And, you know, God is so awesome. I don't know why anybody would ever even want to serve the devil even one second of a day. Because in that one second, he'll take everything God has given you. He'll strip you bare. And that is why God says he wants 100% of you, not 99.9. And the battle is getting worse and worse. It's not getting lighter, it's getting worse and worse. And all of you who are older like I am, you can say for a fact that it has gotten really bad in the last 10 years. That what we knew as church, you just walk in and be happy, 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 glorious, glorious, and then walk back out, still happy, happy. That's not true anymore. Because the enemy is trying to steal as many of God's children as he can before he's destroyed. And each one of us, God knows exactly how much you can bear. And God wouldn't pick you for this end time army if you weren't able to withstand the onslaught of the enemy. He's just not that kind of God. He's not going to put you in the hands of the enemy to have you destroyed. He knows what he's planted within each one of us, and he knows what we can endure. And he never puts on us more than we can endure. Amen. Some of you think you can't do it, but you know God's going to let you see, oh yeah, you can. He's going to let you see just how strong you really are, because the enemy is always convincing us that we just can't do it, you know, take anymore, that we've gone as far as we can go. And then so here comes little God, a big God, and he lets you see, yes, you can endure even stronger things than what you've just come through. So why are you complaining? You're shaking your head. Yep, that's true. Why are you complaining? Why does the enemy still have you in derision? Why are you still wondering what God's going to do and how he's going to do it? He tells us just to be. And as we be, then he is. Amen. Well, I just really believe with all my heart, soul, spirit, and mind that we have been through the furnace of affliction. We have been through the Job experience. And now we're on top. Yeah. And now we're going to go on and be victorious in every area. And we're going to be laughing the devil to derision every second of every day. Yes. I really believe that. I really do, because the devil tried to kill us, did he not? With COVID, he tried to kill us. It didn't work. Nothing he devises will ever work against a true child of God. Nothing. And God told me early on, he'll take you, do anything he wants to with you, but he can't kill you. He'll turn you inside out, upside down. But always remember, he can't kill you. And I've always stood on that, devil, you can't kill me. I don't care what you try. You can't kill me. And see, as you really let the devil know you mean that, because some start out pretty weak. Well, you can't kill me, devil. Hope. But then see, the stronger you get with, you can't kill me. You might be able to put me through all kind of junk, but you can't kill me. And he's going to finally get the picture. And he's going to let you alone. And that is a fact. He's going to walk on to somebody else that's weak. And then he'll start on them. But in the meantime, you've overcome that hurdle. And you know that God is with you. And you become a true witness to who God really is. And I believe that some of you are going to start looking at yourself differently. You're going to start asking God, you know, just what am I all about? Who am I? We know we're God's child, but there's still something deeper than that. Who am I really, Father? What is really going on in my life? And what have you really called me for to do? And to what depth have you called me? You just mark my words, you're going to start asking these questions to God. And you're going to be really surprised at what the answers are. It's going to blow your mind. And when I did that the other day, one thing he said to me is, daughter, you're not of this world. And I wouldn't surprise me if he didn't tell some of you that you are not of this world, never was, never will be. Start asking the Father some questions. Quit letting the enemy take you back into the war room all the time. Start asking the Father questions and find out where you came from and who you really are. It's time that we understand that we're not of this world. Never have been, never will be. We're heavenly children brought down here to do a heavenly job. It took us a long time to realize that, but we're there, we're getting there, and we will tear hell apart because we know who we are, finally. All right. This morning I used that scripture, you know, are you like a reed shaken in the wind? And early on in my ministry, when I first started ministering, everybody came against me, and I said, God, who am I really? And he took me to that scripture that said about John the Baptist, who did you come out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? No, something greater than that, a prophet. A prophet, not just, well, the prophet, not just a ordinary prophet, but a true prophet of God. Now, you need to ask God, what are they going out to see? When they look at you in your ministry, what are they really seeing? And then allow God to give you scripture to back it up of where you really came from and what you're really out there to do. Quit thinking you're just a mundane, everyday person walking this earth. You have to understand you're a child of God. Sent here to do a on a mission for God. Touched by an angel always fascinated me. And now I know why. What fascinates you? Does spiritual things fascinate you or carnal things? If you're really a spirit being sent down from heaven to do a work for the Father, then you're going to be attracted to spirit things. Carnal things will mean absolutely nothing to you. They just won't entice you in any way, shape, or form because your spirit, your true spirit that came from heaven, is crying out to be fed spiritual things. And as your true spirit is crying out for true spiritual things, you're going to grow in the spirit. And you'll no longer just walk around here like an ordinary person. You will know that within inside of you that you're unique and that you are different, and the devil hates you. And he's going to throw all of hell at you. But you can endure because you have something greater than just an average, ordinary person that's just walking the earth and does not know the spiritual things of God. Does that make sense? You just start sitting before the Father after tonight. And you know, it's not your thoughts, but just allow God to speak to you and tell you the truth of who you truly are. It's very important that we know that right now. I'm going to get a lot of flack about this, but I really don't care. I really don't care. Take it up with the Father. Amen. Tonight, God wants to talk about the wind and the whirlwind. Hosea chapter 8, verse 7 says, for they sow the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. The bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up. In other words, you're never going to be blessed because you were sowing to the wind, and now you're reaping a whirlwind, and the enemy has control over everything that goes on in your life because you did not serve God 100%. Isaiah 66:15, "For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire." God has said right now, whatever people have said about you and come against you, he's now going to put it back on them. Jeremiah 30:23 says, "Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked." Nahum 1:3 says, "The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind." Now, early on in my walk with God, I was not a pastor or anything. I was just like you. I went to a young lady in the church said, "Would you please come and pray for me?" So I went to her house, and I was praying with her because she was having all kind of marital problems. It seems that she was married to somebody else and started running around with a man she was now married to, and he wasn't what she thought. She committed adultery, divorced her first husband, married a second man, and he was a mess, all right? She asked me what was going on, and I heard. See, at that point, I just heard things of God. He said, "She has sown to the wind, and now she's reaping the whirlwind." She committed adultery, divorced her husband, and married this other man, and now she was reaping the rewards of her sin. She asked me how long she would have to reap the whirlwind, and the Lord said, "Until I decide to stop the whirlwind." She got very angry, and she stated that she was not going to reap any more of the whirlwind, and she was going to leave her husband no matter what God wanted in her life. But see, God had told her, "Even though you did this, I am going to repair your marriage, and you're going to be happy." But she was to the point, just like she was her first husband, she was tired of it, she wanted to get out, and so she didn't care what God had to say. She was going to do what she wanted to do. Now, how many people... you might be one of them, do you know, that has reaped to the wind and now they're reaping a whirlwind, and you're saying to God, "I'm not going to deal with this anymore. You're not going to make me reap what I sowed." Then God said, "Those of my children who have sown to the wind will now reap the whirlwind." His children. "Long have I chastened them, but they did not repent of their ways or of their error of putting self above me, self-love and self-fulfilling ways, above the way of death of the cross, so that they may walk in resurrection life." In other words, you say you belong to God, but you have never quit your sin nature. God said, "Their actions have become a stench in my nostrils, a continuous vile stench of their abominations is before me." God said, "I have been full of grace and slow to anger, but the day now fast approaches when all their false supports and erroneous ways will be swept away as a whirlwind blows through their very inward part of them. This whirlwind will blow away the chaff and dismantle ungodly fortresses they have built around themselves so that they have an appearance of godliness, but I know them not. I have warned and warned through my prophets, through my messengers of flame and of fire, through my watchmen that stood upon the wall. From their position in me, they could see what manner of perversity, unjust judgment, and unclean desires these so-called children of mine were walking in. Yet they received not the words of my prophets, neither the words of my watchmen. Now see if this thing does not come to pass." You know, if everything in your life is going wrong, you need to check yourself. Am I really a true child of God? Am I really living in holiness in everything I do, or just by word only and not by actions? God said, "All day long I have stretched out my hands to a rebellious people," excuse me, "and they hear me not. They ran from my promptings with much works and strivings and never sat still long enough to hear my still, small voice. But now that still small voice will become thunderous as the winds roar about their ears and through them. And you'll find that in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 8 through 11. You cannot deceive God. And if you're around people who are truly walking in the Spirit, you do not deceive them either. The only person that's being deceived is you, yourself. And I'm saying God and yourself, God is saying, and your self-righteous ways. God said, it is a new season. That which I once allowed in pity and compassion for you, I will allow no more. No more duality, no more double-mindedness. You are with me or against me. I will no longer allow the mingling of the precious with the vile, the unholy with the holy. Profane speaking and perverse actions born from out of your unregenerated soul and mind. Enough is enough, saith the Most High. God, you have made the heart. Let's go back. I'm going to read that over again before we finish it. No more duality, no more double-mindedness. You are with me or against me. I will no longer allow the mingling of the precious with the vile, the unholy with the holy. Profane speaking and perverse actions born from out of their unregenerated soul and mind. Enough is enough, saith the Most High God. You have made the heart of the righteous sad, who I have not made sad, and have tried to pervert their upright ways before me with your gospel and not mine. See Jeremiah 15, verses 19 through 21. My gospel is death to self, for no good thing resides in you save that which is of me. My gospel is death to self, for no good thing resides in you save that which is of me. How long have you mixed that which is of the Spirit with that which is of the flesh? How long have you striven in your ungodly ways to prove to others that you are someone to be noted? It is not you that is to be noted, but my Son is to be high and lifted up so that I may draw all men unto me. And that's in John 12:32. Daniel chapter 5, verse 25 says, and this is the inscription that was written, Mina, Mina, Tekel, Appraisen. This is the interpretation of each word. Mina means God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. How many of you in here, in the sound of my voice, God is saying that to you? He told us not too long ago that we've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. Some of you did not heed what he said, and you're still out there trying to mix the good with the evil, and it doesn't work. You either are gods or you are not gods. And if you are gods, then you will do what is right in every area of your life. God said, in your perverse mingled ways, you have plundered the soul and the spirit of my righteous ones, and you have not received correction. When God tried to correct you through a prophet, you would not receive it. He says, am I not a God of justice? I have thus far given rein to the righteous and the unrighteous, but now you will see a change. Your eyes will see my favor come upon my righteous. You will writhe with the agony of realizing that the very ones you counted as one of no repute, of no importance, being sustained and given honor in the times that are coming upon the face of the earth. You know, God says, am I not a God of justice? I have thus far given rain to the righteous and the unrighteous. And God's been saying to me, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But now he's saying that's not going to happen, because the unjust are not going to be blessed, only the just. And God has been saying to me that he's tired of the body of Christ that won't repent. He's tired of people who make covenants with him and break them as soon as they make them. And now he has to move in his majesty and correct the wrong that has been done in the body. All right, so you can look at Isaiah 65:12 through 17 and see how God is going to do the just and the unjust. God said, when you have made an end of plundering, you will be plundered, for I am not a God, for am I not a God of justice? You've been deceiving people, you've been stealing from them in many different ways. And now God said, okay, you've been plundering my people, now I'm going to plunder you. And you're not going to have anything because I'm taking it all away. God said, what you have sown, you will now reap. It will be by my hand. For those you have oppressed and belittled with your ways, not by their hand, for I know their hearts and that they have forgiven and released you, I will recompense your works unto your bosom. In other words, when God asks us to please forgive those who come against us, and we have, and God said, now I am going to take over. Because they've done their part, but you have not changed. This is a message it's not people don't want to hear, but it's a message that must be preached. And so you have to be cemented in security in Christ, knowing that you've done everything God's called you for to do, and you are still doing everything God's calling you for to do. And even though the enemy is still plundering your goods, God is now going to turn that around. And he's going to plunder their goods. We don't want to see that. But because of their hardness of heart, and God keeps saying, do my prophets no harm, and they keep coming against the prophets of God, God has to move on your behalf. And Isaiah 33:1 says, woe to you who plunder, though you have not been plundered, and you who deal treacherously, though they have not dealt treacherously with you. When you cease plundering, you will be plundered. When you make an end of dealing treacherously, they will deal treacherously with you. In other words, even though you've been ignorant or whatever to another person, they haven't been that way back with you, God is taking over. God has been telling us he's going to vindicate us, has he not? And he's been telling us, be still. Don't try to vindicate yourself, because I'm going to vindicate you. And there's somebody that I know very personally that has really been plundered, I'll call it, like God did. And God spoke to me last night, and he said, I'm going to vindicate them. He said, the ones that have been doing the plundering aren't worth my kingdom. But the one they're plundering is, and they're going to see the truth for what it really is. And I don't even like to hear those things, but God said he would vindicate us. We just had to be still. Right? God said there is still a little window of time, and I did say a little window of time, for you to repent and seek my face earnestly. Lay aside your agendas and come to me as a little child. It may be then that I will hear you, and he's maybe then that I will hear you and heal you and remove all that ails your soul. Excuse me. Repent, therefore, before my voice comes to you in thunderings and lightnings, and I send a whirlwind to winnow the chaff from your soul. God told me a while back, he said, daughter, watch for the thunderings and the lightnings, because I'm coming against those who are coming against mine. And now is the time that that's happening. O foolish and perverse generation, will I strive with man forever? Will I forever suffer the stench in my nostrils? You find that in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. If you bend the knee and submit to the whirlwind, you can still reap resurrected life. The whirlwind comes to blow away that which is not of me. Bend the knee in submission to me, and seek me in a day while I may yet be found. And you'll find that in Isaiah 55:6. Do this quickly, for I am already separating the wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goats, and those found wanting will be cast into the fire along with their unprofitable works. You find that in Isaiah 29:5-24. And then God said, I, the Lord of hosts, have spoken, and that which I have spoken will come to pass. Now we know that we have been in a Job experience. And we know that though we didn't do anything wrong, God allowed Satan to take us to test us. And we know that in the Job experience, we've lost everything, absolutely everything, just like Job did. But what we've been hanging on to is the fact that in the end, Job had more than he had in the beginning. I don't know about you. That's what I've been hanging on to. Because as I look at Job's experience and look at my own experience, you know, if you were going through everything he went through. And you've lost everything he lost. And there's nothing now except God blessing us. And I'm believing that our Job experience is ending. And I'm believing just, you know, Job was sick. He lost his wife. He lost his children. He lost everything he had. He was in total poverty. And all of his friends were mocking him. And isn't that what our Job experience has been? I don't know about you, but mine has been, hasn't yours? I know yours has too. And then one day God said, enough is enough. Devil, you can't do another thing to them. Really, true, if you look at Job, the next thing was to kill him. When anything else the devil could do but kill him. And God said, what did God tell Job? You can do anything you can want to do, but don't kill him. Right? So, what have you lost in your Job experience? It's not because you were in sin, but it's because God knows your heart. And he knew that you could go through the Job experience. And he knew you would stay in that experience until God said it was finished. And I don't know about you, but Satan can't take anything else from me. You know, the only thing he can do is kill me. How about you? And aren't you the same way? Then it has to be ending. It has to be ending. And we're going to have greater things now than what we had before. And God has told me, and I think it was in a word I put out, that he's getting ready to bless beyond measure. Everything the palmer and cankerworm has stolen is now going to be returned back to us 100-fold. So have you reaped to the wind? And now you're reaping the whirlwind? In other words, you sowed bad seed, and now you've been reaping what you sowed? Or are you not a true child of God, or you're a false child of God, and the enemy has you believing that you can go out there and sin all you want to sin, and you still belong to God, and you know, you're still going to go to heaven? You know, you still belong to God, because the Word of God says Jesus goes down in the corridors of hell and weeps over us, right? But no, weeps over those who were lost. So he never, ever cast you aside. You were the one that did that. By your continual sin nature. You can, I'm just hearing this, I'm going to say, you can be in your home and do things in secret behind closed doors that nobody ever sees or hears, but God sees and hears it all. And he's the one that you're going to be held accountable to. Not the people that you close doors and they don't hear your whisperings and your backbitings and all the other dumb junk you do behind closed doors. God sees it all. He went in that room with you, and he's listening. So who do you think you're hiding things from? I would be concerned about I'm hiding them from God. I wouldn't be concerned about does the person I'm talking about know it. Does my God know it? And I'm professing to be your child, and I'm in here doing foolish things. And my heart's not pure and innocent. I have anger issues. You know, what are you trying to hide from God? Somebody in my home said something to me, and I was telling Teresa, I said, that did something to me. It totally wrecked me. It totally did, because it wasn't nice. And every day I take that thing before God, please. I don't want to have these feelings. Please, whatever that thing did to me, please change it and make me whole again. Have you ever had anybody do something to you that just devastates you to the very core of your being? And no matter how much you want to do something, you know, nice to the person, God says, no, they reap this seed. Now they're going to sow the consequences of it. I need you to really be watching what you do and what you say. And God really wants you to understand that you're not hiding anything from him, that he sees it all. He's the one you need to be going to and repenting of your sin nature. You keep going to flesh and blood, and flesh and blood can tell you, well, that's okay, we'll keep praying. But is it okay with God? Is it really okay with God that you keep doing these things? Are you trying to impress somebody? Are you really sorry you did what you did? These are all things you need to really think about, guys, in your walk with God. What is the true nature of your heart, and why do you really do what you do? Come on. If I get really upset and get ridiculous with things going on in my house, Isaiah says, that is not godly. I say, no, I'm sorry. He lets me know you've stepped over the line. But it's God in him that does that. And then I have to go out in my little office and cry out to God and tell him, first of all, tell the boys I'm sorry, and then I have to go to God. But you know what? Even though you do that, it's still there. The stench of what you just did that gave God a black eye is still there. And the enemy's going to make sure he keeps scratching that thing, keep tearing it open, trying to make you believe that you're no longer a child of God. And the only thing you can do is just trust God, that he loves you, and he's with you, not against you. And he knows what's going on. But what he loves is the fact that you go to him, even though it's not your fault, even though you had a right to be angry, you go to him and say, God, I'm really sorry. And you just don't say, but you're like David, and you never do it again. Come on. What are you looking for? What are you really looking for in your walk with God? Do you want to be a celebrity? Or are you looking for those lost souls? Are you, God said, but are you first of all wanting God to clean you up totally and completely so that there's no acid, he's saying acid there, that the enemy can throw on the people you're trying to minister to? I'm ashamed of my home. I won't invite anybody to my home because the devil has taken a residence in my home. Not through me, but through other people. And I cry out daily, God, please make my home a home of peace once again and godliness. Are you ashamed of your home? There's nothing wrong with that. If you're not the one that's doing it, and if it's others that's moved in and taken over your home, then they're the problem, not you. And see what happens. And somebody said this to me today. They take your compassion and your mercy and grace, and they twist it, thinking you're weak. And you're not weak. You're just trying to be what God's calling you to be. But God said those days are over. He's not going to allow his children to be used ever again. So see, you don't have to be concerned, because God's taking care of you. You just have to make sure that you're taking care of your mouth and your body, and you're not allowing the enemy to use it in any way to destroy your testimony. Amen. Father, we thank you. We praise you tonight. We give you all honor and all glory. Father, I thank you that you love this Lighthouse Church so much, that you leave no stone unturned. We can't never say when we stand before you that you have not turned every stone over so we can be saved, truly saved. I thank you, Father God, that you have a plan and a purpose for this church and for the people who come on a continual basis. And I thank you that you know that the enemy is turning us every which way he can. But I also know, Father God, that you know the very end. And it's greater than the beginning, because you keep telling me that. And so, Father God, I'm asking you right now to reach down and touch these people here tonight. And Father God, if it's being streamed out there for others to hear, then Father God, let them understand who you truly are. and how they should be responding to the wiles of the enemy, and that they should remain true, holy children of the Most High God. And Father, right now, as the people sit, you say don't bring them to the altar, but as they sit in their seats, Father God, I thank you. You guys need to know God has opened a portal of heaven right now. And this glory of God is shining down through that portal upon each one of you. It's just covering the room. And God is, anything that's impure in you, as you give it to God, he's taking it from you right now. If you're true to crying out, God, take this thing from me. I don't want to be this two-faced person anymore. I want to be your child and only your child. God's going to take it from you right now. And God's saying, you fall on a rock. Don't let the rock fall on you. In other words, don't make God lift your skirt and expose your sin nature in front of everybody. Let God have it right now. Let him have all things right now.